Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In Ukraine, voting has started in the controversial referendum on whether four eastern and southern provinces should become part of Russia. The United Nations and Western leaders call the referendum illegitimate. They say it's an illegal effort by Russia to annex part of Ukraine. Joining us now from Ukraine is NPR's Kat Lonsdorf. She is in the city of Dnipro. Kat, thank you.
Hey, Don, thanks.
We're hearing reports of people being forced to vote, with authorities going door to door, watching over as they cast ballots. What are you hearing about this?
Yeah, so Russian authorities are going door-to-door handing out paper ballots. That's what we're hearing, at least, that is happening. Russian media are saying that it's happening mainly because the referendum was announced so last minute that there wasn't time for voting infrastructure to be set up, no time for anything to be done online. But a lot of these places have had the internet cut, so it's kind of unclear how an online vote would have happened anyway. The voting's happening for the next 5 days, and then the Kremlin says on that final day, people can walk into polling stations and cast a vote that way. It's also a little unclear what that means. In terms of people being forced to vote, I mean, there are a lot of different types of force, right? I talked to one person yesterday named Ninel Lysenko. She's 67. She's originally from Donetsk, where Russia held similar referendum votes in 2014, and here's what she told me. She told me that back in the Donbass back in 2014, she says the votes were clearly staged, that when people come to your house and ask if you're in or out, they have guns. What are you supposed to do? So that's kind of what forced voting can look like in this situation.
Russia scrambled to launch this referendum after Ukraine forces gained back parts of these areas. You met up with convoys and people trying to leave this part of the country. Describe where you were and what you saw.
Yeah, so yesterday I was in the city of Zaporizhia. I was in this giant parking lot that's been set up for months now as a staging area for people fleeing from other parts of Ukraine. And this long line of cars pulled in. It was a convoy full of people, and they got out and officials started checking their documents. And these were mostly people coming from cities like Melitopol and parts of Kherson, the Kherson region, which are both under Russian occupation and have been for quite some time.
And what were people telling you? Were they actually leaving to avoid voting in this referendum?
Yeah, absolutely. Every single person I talked to yesterday said that they had made the decision to finally leave as soon as they heard about these referendums. I talked to one older couple named Anatoly and Victoria Yermolini, and here's what they told me. They told me that they had been waiting, hoping that Ukraine would come and retake their city. But they said that when they heard that this referendum was happening, that was the last straw, and they packed up and left. They did say that their neighbors stayed behind, and their plan, their neighbor's plan, was to hide if and when Russian soldiers came to their home to try and get them to vote. But I will say, Victoria, that woman basically said to me after that, what's the point? They can hide, but at the end of the day, the Russians are just going to write down the numbers that they need anyway.
A big issue in all of this, if Russia annexes these areas, it could then say any attack on these eastern and southern parts of Ukraine is an attack on Russia itself. How much of a concern is that, and that it could escalate the conflict further?
I mean, I would say that that is a huge concern, especially when you add the context that Russian President Vladimir Putin announced mobilization of hundreds of thousands of Russian men just earlier this week. I mean, to be clear, almost every nation has said that they won't recognize these referendums, and neither will Ukraine, obviously, but that won't stop Russia from claiming it. And I will say one other worrying thing that I was hearing yesterday. People told me that in this convoy, that all men ages 18 to 35 that were in their convoy trying to leave were stopped by Russian soldiers and were sent back to the occupied territory. I talked to one father who had this happen to his 34-year-old son that morning. He said he tried to figure out why Russian forces were taking his son away, why they were sending him back, and he didn't really get a clear answer. And I asked him if he worried that his son would be mobilized to fight for Russia, and he just sighed and said that he hadn't even really let himself think about that yet.
International observers are not allowed to monitor the referendum. It's seen as illegal. It's likely to go in favor of Russia. What can the international community do about it?
Well, not a whole lot, except not recognize it, which is what a lot of countries, including the U.S., have said that they're going to do. You know, that being said, this is the same thing that happened in Crimea, essentially, in 2014, and Russia still went through with it. Crimea is still annexed. The U.N. has made it clear that they won't accept the outcome of such votes, and the EU's foreign policy chief said that Europeans will continue to arm Ukraine and impose sanctions on Russia. I mean, referendums are a way of legitimizing change in status of a place, but I mean, not when war is happening and not if no one recognizes it.
And the voting goes on till Tuesday. NPR's Kat Lonsdorf joins us from Dnipro, Ukraine. Thank you, Kat.
Thank you.